Hello. Welcome again to the continuation of a series we've been taking titled The Adoption of the Believer. Our attempts to wake up the believer to see the need to grow to perfection. We'll continue today as we look deeply into the process of going on to perfection. As you listen, may you be blessed and see reason to make your calling and election sure. Let's go to the auditorium and listen to the message.
Amen. Okay, so we are continuing with the exhortation on the adoption of the believer. Can we stand up and pick our text? Romans 8, verse 15. That's where we pick our text. Everybody, shall we go? For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. Please be seated. And we are looking at the adoption of the believer. The adoption of the believer. With only one motive behind this message. To wake up somebody who is careless with your Christian faith. To wake up somebody to realization of an expectation of God for us. To establish somebody in the right path. To remove carelessness. This is aimed as provoking growth. Spiritual growth. To move somebody forward from where you are spiritually. That is the purpose. And so, in the last two parts of the message, we try to let us know the difference or the meaning of adoption. We're looking at adoption. Hallelujah. I try to look at it from one angle, but there is also the other angle of it. I looked at it in the last two series where I try to let us know why in revealing Himself to us for salvation, He comes by using the terminology of adoption. Then later on, He uses redemption. Okay. Now, when you are born again, that is the new birth. You are not a Christian until you are born again. And to be born again is not just a slogan. It is a process. A process that God comes down and takes a sinner and makes him his son. Makes him his child. And it is a process. We've tried by all means to debunk the wrong teaching that because you make a confession with your mouth that God, Jesus is my Savior and my Lord, you say it in your mouth, then you are born again. It's more than that. It's a process. The fact that a man walks to a woman and says, will you marry me? And she says, yes, I will marry you. Then he says, see, from today you are my wife. You are not a wife like that. Now that you have agreed to marry me, then the process begins. And until the process is completed, you cannot be somebody's wife. But just as some people will just say, you go marry me, and then carry their load, go stay with the man, so also some people think that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Then they go and join a church and they say, I'm a Christian. The church knows you, but God does not know you. The man knows you that come and did Wajoko. The man knows you, but the father of the woman does not know you. And you have no claim over that house. One day, somebody will tell you, did I marry? The man himself. One day will remind you, say, you know, say we never marry. The day you vex him. But if he paid your bride price, forever you will be. Nothing can remove you from that house. You have a claim, you have a right to stay there because you went through the process. So is this with Christ. You are not a Christian until you go through that process. And that is the process of the new birth. And unless you are born again by the Spirit and of the water, you cannot enter the kingdom. And by one Spirit are we baptized into the body of Christ. You are a Christian only when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the Son of God. The power, that is the Spirit of adoption. Hallelujah. And then you become a son. I mean, last sermon, the last part, last week Sunday, where I tried to bring out the process, the difference between Matthew 3:17, where Jesus Christ received the Holy Ghost from baptism, and a voice said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That is the same stage. Every one of us received the Holy Ghost, and then heaven is also saying, you have received the Spirit of sonship. You become God's own son, God's own child. But we also went to Matthew 17 and we saw in the Mount Transfiguration where Jesus also had the Father making another announcement. What did he say? He said, this is my beloved Son. This time now, he said, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And that hear ye him was the adoption of Jesus Christ. And if the first son was adopted, we too, we must be adopted. But that there is a period between when you receive the Holy Ghost and the period of adoption where he says, hear ye him. And that period is what we see in Galatians chapter 4. Can we read it? Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now I say that the heir, that is that child that is born to inherit the father, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. So, that child, hallelujah, must grow and be responsible first. Now that scripture, William Branham tried to explain it to us in the message he also preached, picking it from another angle, the topic of the adoption. It is through him I got to know, and by research also confirmed, that there is an Eastern culture, not Eastern Nigeria, Middle East. There's an Eastern culture whereby somebody who is supposed to inherit the father, when he is born, maybe the son of a king, somebody of authority, he must be of authority. Now, the child is born and he is given to specialists that Apostle Paul is referring to as tutors and governors. They watch over that child, reporting his growth to the father. His growth means so much to the father because he's going to commit authority into his hand. And then when he comes to maturity, And the proper recommendation is given by the tutors and the governors that bring him up. Then a ceremony is specially organized. It is that ceremony that is called adoption in the Middle East. And that is the word that Apostle Paul borrowed to let us also know what goes on as children of God, the process of perfection. He uses that word, adoption. That day, the man calls witnesses. Crowd are gathered. What for? His son is about to be adopted. Praise the Lord. And they all gather. There must be witnesses. There must be witnesses. And they gather. And then the father declares to the hearing of everybody, this day I have tried my son. I have seen that he is now responsible enough to take over authority from me. I hereby give him all authority as far as the kingdom is concerned. His word is as good as my word. Hallelujah. Anything he speaks, I have spoken. And the whole crowd will look at it, and the ceremony takes place. That day, hallelujah, all authority is given to him. But that authority was not given to him when he was born. But when he was born, he was still a child, though he is a Lord. That is what Apostle Paul is trying to explain, to make us understand the process of salvation, the process of redemption. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Like Christ, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, that Jesus Christ grew, he said, grew in stature and in wisdom and in favor with all men. And Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, if you read it, verse 17 and verse 18, Apostle Peter was admonishing us that we are to grow in grace. Apostle Paul, in Hebrews chapter 6, and verses 1 and verse 2, it tells us that we should grow, we should move unto perfection. We are to move into perfection. In Philippians, Paul also told the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 15, and he was explaining, hallelujah, that same process of us growing together and then admonishing us to grow unto him. We are to grow unto him in all things. Hallelujah. Remember, hallelujah, Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Man was created in the image of God. But Satan came and perverted that image and turned it to satanic image. And in the process of restoration, he carried the first son. And in Colossians chapter 1 verse 15, God, Christ is referred to as the image of the invisible God. So, how did God design us to be? That is how Christ was. So he became a perfect example of what God desired his children to be. Hallelujah. Why? Because Matthew chapter 5 verse 48, he said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly father, which, even as your father which is in heaven is perfect. If your father is perfect, you must be perfect. If your father is not a thief, you cannot be a thief. If your mother is not a prostitute, you cannot be a prostitute. That is why we know that Cain is not the son of Adam. By their fruits, you shall know them. You have to bring forth after your kind. An animal will bring forth an animal, and a human being should bring forth a human being. That's why everyone that has children, you are watching out for characters there that and that child that must conform to your own. If not, you go ask the mama. Where you get this one from? Because every woman knows the father of her child. We must resemble our father. He is perfect. Therefore, we must grow to perfection. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so last week, I said today, we will look at the process of perfection. That's where we ended. Number one, after the baptism of the Holy Ghost, see the process. Matthew chapter 4 verse 1. Can we read it? Remember, chapter 3 verse 17. The last verse in chapter 3 first. The last verse in chapter 3. It says, after the water baptism, he came out, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. So, that is when he received the Spirit of God. Then, chapter 4, verse 1. Then, after the baptism of the Holy Ghost, was Jesus led up of the Spirit. I stressed it last week. Who led him? Are we together? Who led Jesus? The Spirit that he received. He was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, this is the aspect of the gospel that preachers of faith may not like. But it is there. You cannot remove it from the Bible. And it is a principle, a process that every one of us born again, we must go through. And if you have not yet experienced your own is coming. And it's better you prepare yourself for it. Jesus was led of the Holy Ghost. For what? To be tempted. Why will I receive the Holy Ghost? And the Holy Ghost will now lead me to be tempted. That is the training period. That is the period. After you have received the Holy Ghost, the training for perfection starts. It will allow you to go through situations and conditions. It will allow you to face the devil. He will allow the devil to box you, to see whether you too know that you can box him back. Amen. And he was there in fasting for 40 days. Take note. Satan was to come in 40 days' time. During those 40 days, he did not see Satan. Satan waited first until he was very, very hungry. Hallelujah. That lets me know that the fact that you have been doing dry fasting does not give you immunity to temptation. The fact that you have been fasting, listen, this is the process. It is always after that serious fasting that you have done that you face the greatest temptations. And that is when people fail. Fasting cannot stop you from lusting. In fact, fasting opens you up more to lusting. Because everything around you becomes sensitive. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, because fasting cannot grant you immunity. Amen. Fasting. I just wish somebody can catch what I want to say now. Because so many people here, you fast a lot. But despite all your fasting, you are still spiritually stagnant. Why? It's because you have not caught something, a principle. And may God grant you understanding now in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Fasting cannot give you power to resist Satan. During that fasting is a period of withdrawal to do something during the period of fasting, it is during that time that you are able to acquire something that will be able to confront Satan. It is not the fasting itself. It is what you do during that fasting that empowers you to confront the devil. How do I know? After 40 days, Jesus was hungry. And the first temptation, if you're a son of God, turn these stones to bread. Now, remember he has received the anointing. And the Bible says he received the Spirit without measure. Hallelujah. To perform miracles, signs and wonders. The power was there. But take note, he did not use anointing to resist Satan. What did he use? He said, it is written. It simply means, during those 40 days fasting, he was studying. He was studying. When you jam that fasting with the knowledge of God's word, you become a moving dynamite. Remember, anytime you quote the word of God, it is not you that situation is hearing. Hallelujah. Anytime you face a situation with thus said the Lord, and you are quoting the word of God, it is not you that situation will be hearing. That situation will be hearing God speaking. When you meet a Christian that is grounded in the word, there is a confidence he has. Such a person fasts less. Such a person prays less. Because his prayer is confession of the word that is in him. And you can never grow spiritually beyond the level of the word of God that you know. Oh, that is the truth. I'm saying something. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible says, resist the devil and he shall flee. What do you use to resist him? Holy Ghost fire? Oh. I say, I have seen a man, an old man, that told me that after he did how many 21 days fasting or something like that on a mountain, he said the spirit that had tormented him came to him again. And he said, he was saying, blood of Jesus. He said the demons stood and they were telling him, we too, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. Then the man became discouraged. He met me. He said, so what will I do again? Demons are shouting as I'm shouting. You see? Paul, I know. That Jesus, I know. But who are you? You have not had demons speaking to some of these men that do deliverance. Who are you? Who are you? Leave me. Who are you? And then hear what they tell them. Praise God. You will know that they are empty. See, what do I want to achieve by all this exhortation? I want to establish you to a level that all this inferiority complex will knock it off. You are going to see me because you believe I am higher than you spiritually, isn't it? What makes me higher than you? Do we have Holy Ghost grade by grade? Do we have blood of Jesus grade by grade? I am higher than you because there is something I know you don't know. Simple. That thing gives me confidence. And please, for those of you who don't know me, amen. The confidence I have had before I became a pastor is even higher that time. I was never among those running anywhere. I was sitting down as a member of the church. But the pulpit always knew there is somebody sitting down there talking well, even though he will challenge you. You misplace the word. After service, I say, pastor, you quoted this and you said this is the meaning. Okay, what of this other scripture? Can you balance it for me? I know a pastor in my former church. He said anytime he's preaching and I am not in service that day, he's not comfortable. He said because whenever I'm sitting, he watches. If he sees me doing like this, it means he's correct. So, because somehow, I knew that if I am going to have a correct Christian bearing, I must stay with the word. If you know the word, you cannot be deceived. Praise the Lord. Look at them with so much anointing everywhere. So much anointing, all the denominations. But open Bible to them, they know nothing about it. And rapture will take place, and they are still here doing anointing. And they have taken advantage of ignorance of God's children, and they have established commercial houses that they call church. I said, as a believer, listen carefully. As a Christian, listen, nobody prays for you. Do you understand me? As a Christian, nobody prays for you. What you do is to pray with you. Praying for you is different from praying with you. Because you are only coming to with your faith to join with my faith. Because we know the power of agreement. Not for you to stay there like some deformed person that is a dead person. It's only a dead person that cannot pray. Then you need people to pray for you to come back to life. But we are supposed to come by the same way of the cross. Plead the same blood of Jesus. So all of you that give prophets money to go to prayer warrior, to go to mountain to pray for you, you are wasting your money and you don't know it if you are a true child of God. Wasting your money. Praise the Lord. You are going about your business, then you are sending somebody to the mountain for you. You are wasting your time. You mean we cannot have intercessors? Yes, we must have intercessors. You must have prayer partners. And they must be prayer partners and not prayer contractors. There's a difference between a prayer partner and a prayer contractor. A prayer contractor is the one that you have hired to go and pray, and is praying so that when he comes back, you can settle him. But a prayer partner is one that takes your burden like his burden, being a brother, being a sister. And your testimony is his joy, not what you will settle him with. Christianity has gone beyond that stage. And the bride of Jesus Christ must move out of that mumu kind of Christianity. That is what we are trying to establish, nothing more. And I know no matter what I say, some people will never catch it. But those of you who will catch it, practice it. If it is the truth I am speaking, God will honor it. And you will enjoy your Christian life. Praise Master Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the pattern that he established is to prove you. Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is the way. Verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Catch something before we continue reading. The spiritual church is exactly what you see foreshadowed in church in the wilderness, Israel. Natural Israel lets us understand how God deals with the spiritual Israel. They left the world, Egypt, and began a journey to the promised land. And they went through the water baptism. They passed through the sea and came out. They passed through after they passed through the lamb, the Passover lamb that was killed, applying the blood. They passed through for justification through the Red Sea. Now, after they were justified, then the wilderness journey started. So also every one of us, we have our wilderness experiences. Is God wicked to leave you in the wilderness to suffer like that? No, it's for a purpose. So verse 2, Deuteronomy chapter 8. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. For what? To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wilt have kept his commandments or no. And see what he did. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. God made his children to be hungry and fed thee with manna which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know. Why? That he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. What did he do? He took them through the wilderness and suffered them to hunger. Why? To humble you and, hallelujah, to prove you. To humble you and to prove you. Catch it. To humble you. Why will he humble you? Because God hates pride. Now that you saw that all the pestilences that destroy Israel, Egypt, Pharaoh and his armies, then you begin to be proud. And God wants you to know that it's not that you are better than the Egyptians. It is by his covenant with your fathers and by his mercies that you are where you are today. And so, you will humble them, no food to eat, no water to drink. Hostile nations along the way. 40 years he was taking them up and down. During that period, he was teaching them how to fight. Teaching them to know that he is a mighty one in battle. Shaking everywhere. And that is exactly what every one of us passed through. Once you have received the Holy Ghost, you start your wilderness journey. To prove you, to know whether you love him with all of your heart, or it is something else that is making you run to him. And by your attitude, we know it. We see people who come to church only because they have a prayer point they want God to answer. And if that God wastes time before answering, you will see they will change church. And God is not found in any church. God is found in his word. That's why a lot of people get confused. Pastor Moses, why are you people not opening branches? They look at us as another denomination that is coming up. There's no denomination anything. It's because you are just knowing us by the platform of the television and electronic evangelism. That's why you're just knowing. We have been existing for the past 17 years. Hallelujah. And what we are preaching started in 1933. Hallelujah. But you are just knowing us. We are part of a move to pull his children out of denominationalism and establish the individual with his maker. Hallelujah. Fellowship must be with the Father first before the brethren. If you are not connected to God, you can never be connected to a child of God. Praise God. It is not about opening branches. It is about establishing the believer. And where two or three are gathered, it is a branch of the Church of Jesus Christ. It is not the branch of Bride Assembly Church. Praise the Lord. And there are many churches that have sprung up from hearing this ministry. And they are not Bride Assembly Church. They are the Church of Jesus Christ. That's all we want to establish. So prepare. So that should answer the question. When I was an unbeliever, things were getting that well. But since I gave my life to Christ, not in the work again. I've been there because I know wear trousers again, sister. I've been there because. Amen. A sister told me during the weekend, she's a teacher in a secondary school, and they are telling her in their school that the teachers must come and write for their students in WAEC so that the students can pass. And it sounds strange to her. Why should a teacher write exam for their students to pass? And the owner of the school is a pastor. Oh, man must work. And so, because she thinks she's a Christian, and she should not do that, they are telling her, if you will not do it after this holiday, as you go, no, come back to this school. And she's meeting me, seeking my advice. I say, what do you want me to advise you? That you should go and write the exam, Sabi? Is that what you are expecting me to tell you? No, tell me now. So true. If I tell you, say no, it doesn't matter. Go and write it. You will go, Abby. Now that is the kind of Christianity I talk about. When you are not grounded, oh Jesus. When you are not grounded, then you can meet any of these carnal false pastors that will be giving you carnal advice that make you take actions that will destroy your faith. Do you know if I told that sister, no, look. It doesn't matter. You know, God understands. That's what is going on there. Now, what didn't concern you? The person where go pay for the sin, not the pastor, not the proprietor. What didn't concern you? You know, if I tell her this, she'll say, hey, pastor, thank you. That's why I like you. Oh, the Rechabites. Oh, anytime I remember the story of the Rechabites. Learn a lesson from their story. God told Jeremiah, the prophet, messenger of the day. Go with us, said the Lord, to the house of Rechab and tell them, give them jars of wine. Give them wine. That God said they should drink that alcohol. And he went there. Thus said the Lord, the mighty man Jeremiah came to visit them. Ha! The Lord said, I should tell you that you should drink this alcohol. And they looked at him. Listen, Oga prophet. Hey, Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God will use that story and judge the followers of the ministry of William Branham. Who believe that everything William Branham say is thus said the Lord and is correct. They have nothing to judge what the man is even saying. And so, they mess up the message as it is known today. And the children of the Rechabites stood up and told him, listen, you know, we are not even indigenous of this place. See where we come from. Where we come from, our father that died, grandfather that died long, long ago, told us that we should neither drink wine nor touch anything, alcohol. And we have held on to his word from that time till now. We have not tasted alcohol. Come, you tell us to tell alcohol because that is how you prophesy to the Jews, Abby. We are not Jews, so see where we are coming from. We hold true to the word of our father. We will not drink, Oga prophet. And God is saying, look at what the Rechabites are saying concerning their father, a man. Because of that, he blessed them forever. He said, but you, when I tell you to do something, you will not do it. So it is. Hallelujah. Very easily. It's because you don't know the word of God, so you don't know a godly counsel. A young prophet, I think 1 Kings chapter 13 or so, somewhere there. Oh, yeah. A young prophet was told by God, go and deliver this message to King is it Jeroboam or Rehoboam? A king Jeroboam who was messing up at the altar. And after you delivered the message, he said, the way you enter that city, take another way out. Don't drink, don't eat, don't go to anybody's house. Just deliver the message and come back. Young prophet. In my message that I titled The Enemies of Revival, I use this as one of the enemies of revival. To admonish those of you who, after you receive a grace, instead of you to stay with God, you will run to a prophet that you believe is older than you in it. And before you know what, it will mess up that grace. All the wuru-wuru and the nyama-nyama they are doing, he will baptize you into it. And you remain like the pillar of salt of Lot's wife. Praise God. And an old prophet called him. Come my house. We know the story now. And you know what happened to him? The prophet deceived him. And say, I'm a prophet like you. You are a prophet like me. And you have been attending the fellowship of Jeroboam. And you have not prophesied to him all the wrong thing he was doing. God had to send me from another town to come. Is that not enough for me to write them off? That was exactly what happened in this church. When this ministry started, all those old juggernauts who believed they were in the enter message before me want to come and direct me on how I should run ministry. And I told them, the one you have been doing, what has he produced? How can I learn from somebody who is a failure? That's why they don't like me. Now they are turning back now to learn from me. Because I stood with the word. You must stand with the word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So it's your trial time. You will face that old young prophet died because he listened to a man instead of God. Stay with the word of God, not the word of man. And God cannot contradict himself. God told me, go like this. A man is saying, the same God also told him that you should go like this. Which one will you listen to? God, is it true you God told me to go like this before? He told me directly. So if he's going to change his mind, he will tell me again. Not through you. Beware of false prophets. Blessed be the name of the Lord.